The wild here doesn't whisper, it roars. Glaciers crack like thunder. Waterfalls carve paths through time. And in the middle of it all, she waits. Motor Yacht Unbridled. A sanctuary of warmth and refinement in the heart of Alaska's untamed frontier. Bears wander the shoreline. Whales breach on the horizon. Seals nap on drifting ice while you sip champagne on the aft deck. This isn't a cruise. It's a calling, and only the bold will answer. Now booking your next unforgettable charter. YachtUnbridled.com or through your preferred charter broker.
Top of the morning, folks. It's Captain Liam here, Captain of the Motor Yacht Unbridled, currently in Seattle. Got my jumper on. It's a little chilly here. But I'm honored to have Melanie White, the founder of Marathon for Mental Health, joining. How are you today, Melanie?
I'm very good. I got my run in this lunchtime, so I'm feeling very good.
Oh, you've got that warmth already.
Yeah. Otherwise, it was freezing. I'm just outside London, so it's not that warm here either.
And then what time of day do you kind of do your running? Is it lunchtime one or it's kind of the middle of the day?
It has to be the beginning or the middle of the day. Otherwise, if it gets too late, I just won't get out.
Yeah.
So I'm
going. People are dying to hear about this Marathon for Mental Health. As founder, where did it start? What was the ideology? Tell us a little bit. You got a background in yachting. You're now just north of London. Tell us a little background of Melody. So I'm really excited personally.
Yeah, so the marathon came as a concept about a year ago. I've been working closely with Emma at Seize the Mind now for 5 years. We both experienced poor mental health when we were working as yachties throughout our 20s. We had a very similar shared history as yacht chefs. We did come past the depression that we had in yachting, and for both of us, we experienced, we're going to go hard, suicidal ideation. But we did come past that, and we really believe in fabulous careers. And quite often the narrative is, it doesn't quite meet past the really low points. And so we were quite clear when we set Seize the Mind up, we wanted to really give people the tools they needed to be able to stay mentally well on board. But I think as we got to the kind of approaching the 5-year mark, we'd trained about 2,000 seafarers by this point, and we always would direct people to Ice One's resources. Yeah. And Ice One's an incredible charity, International Seafarers Welfare Assistance Network. And they started in shipping and cruise, but they recognized the need for support in yachting. And they have some incredible resources that we're always posting people to. Also, namely, their Yacht Crew helpline. And
that's just specifically for Yacht Crew, correct?
That's just for Yacht Crew, and it's such an amazing resource. And we thought, how are we getting 2,000 seafarers in now? And they still don't, you know, the awareness is still not quite there. And so we work closely with Ice One anyway. And I approached them about a year ago, and I said, I just think there's just an awareness piece missing. I don't think there is, I think it's just that. And it's just because yachting is quite a bubble.
Yeah.
If you've been in shipping and cruise for eons, it's pervasive, and it goes through, you know, rigorous, you know, employment schedules. You know, it will be there.
It's corporate.
Yachting is
corporate. Commercial shipping is corporate world. You know?
It is.
And it's structured.
It's structured, absolutely. And so I was like, I just think there just needs to be something that breaks through into yachting that is just a bit outside that corporate structure, really.
Yeah.
And so I said, I basically just wanted to put in place what I would have wanted as crewmo, really, when I was at my time. Like, you're working to the bone all season and you're craving that time off at the end. You know, October's rolling around, you might get a bit more of a work-life balance, and you just think, oh, you know, I wish there was something wherever I was that could get me out and seeing the areas I'm in and moving my body and feeling good in that way. And so I said, look, what if we try and create a flexible marathon that's really accessible for as many crew as possible to partake in? Yeah. And in the process, try and encourage people to donate to the charity, but also become aware of the resources just by proxy, because you might find somebody that loves running or loves hiking, and they go out and meet someone else for this hike, and they think that's what they're there for. But actually, the connection is what they're there for. And they might take home that information about Ice One.
Yeah.
And when they really need it in the thick of a season, next time they're in, that little seed's there, you know. So in a weird way, some really passive marketing for the for IceOne. And so that's, yeah, to build awareness. And so that's where it began. And then it, up until this point, it's been a whole year of knocking on people's doors like, do you want to do a flexible marathon? And building the troops to, you know, watch it this year.
To unpack there, but, you know, when you talk, you know, initially when you talk about marathon, people have a natural kind of aversion or a distance to it, or that's difficult. And then when you talk about mental health and depression, people have that same aversion. Like, oh, that's something I'm unaware of, or I feel it, or I don't, I'm not sure. So you've combined two really powerful things, and what you're doing is absolutely phenomenal. I, from the bottom of my heart, cannot thank you enough. You know, it changes my life every day when I kind of wake up and go, I have to do my 5 kilometers. I have to get to, for some reason, I'm 50 kilometers. And for me personally, when I started this with you, I had quite a bigger crew, but we've reduced the crew over winter. So at the moment, I'm trying to get some more crew involved, but it's like irrelevant. It's my responsibility to push forward and do it either way to raise awareness for IceOne. So I cannot thank you enough. And the community you've built, just beautiful people from New Zealand, Fiji, people like Xanthi from Wave Wellness. She's a lovely friend of mine and a big part of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also been what was by default has been the most wonderful thing about it is this really just lovely community of people. Like every single time there's a picture come up or a selfie or a video come up of somebody going out there just to get, even if they're, you know, just walking in their lunch break, seeing people get out and connecting over that has been really amazing.
And what is it?
I'm wanting to share it.
Like some of those cliffs. Where were those cliffs? The sea cliffs in Malta, was it?
Yes, yes. And she's amazing. So that's Katerina, who's on a 60 meter in Monaco. And she's been doing it, and she went away for the weekend. And so she was like, okay, I'll take my cap, I'm doing my walk while I'm there. And she went for a really beautiful sunrise hike that I don't know if she would have, you know, pushed out the door that early. I don't know, there's something about there being this group mentality and also this challenge where it's just enough to feel like, oh, okay, I can do it, but it requires a concerted effort to show up for myself every time that is quite special.
Well, that's the core of, you know, addressing depression. I'm no expert, and you've got a lot of experience. And with Seize the Mind, it's a wonderful course, by the way. I've done the course, but it's, you know, that opening that door and having that vulnerability, and that's what I implore crew to kind of, you know, and family and my kids, and just be vulnerable. It's okay not to be okay, but how do you find that help? That's the challenge, and that's where IceOne and different organizations have come into yachting. In your experience, why do you think yachting creates such a difficult environment? Because it is different to merchant shipping, very different.
It is different. I think there are pressures that come with any form of luxury hospitality that are very acute, and that kind of pressurizing environment means everybody needs to be operating at a high standard. And you have to do in hospitality a lot of masking. You know, you do a lot of smiling when you're on. You do a lot of, you know, it's your job.
It's a show.
It is. It's a show. You want to run it. You are on your show. And the show is running for a long period of time. Yes, you might
want to chat.
It's a huge amount to ask of people that, you know, everybody's going to have a bad day. But when also it's, you know, it's on for a long period, you might have back-to-back charters or the owner's on for a long period of time, any of those things. And then naturally you aren't accessing your normal tools for support, whether or not it's being with your family or, you know, being able to get out of off the boat for a run, exercise.
Dog or cafe.
Exactly. You can't access those things so readily. So that's one kind of coping mechanism taken out for you. And then you throw in other things that are really like building blocks of mental health, like solid sleep. You know, the alarm's waking you up. You might be on delivery and it's rough, or those things. And then you throw into the mix crew culture on board and how people are getting along and interpersonal relationships. You know, that's hugely complex. And if you're on a great, if you have that set, it's the best job in the world. if it's not there, it's one of the hardest jobs in the world. And so,
but it, yeah. It's sad. It's not permanent. Like, you know what, I'm tired of this. I've 25 years of yachting as a captain for 20 of it, but it's not permanent. Like, you have a great crew and we build it and we have a good energy. And then something happens, meaning you finish the season and then two crew leave, or something happens and it's just, you lose that momentum. It's so hard to maintain that positivity consistently. And that's why I think the Mental Health First Aid course and different courses at Caesar Mine and even Wave Wellness, the things they offer, it helps you with those tools to get through it, because it's not easy. Like, it really, you know, the older I'm getting, the more I'm noticing and becoming more aware of the challenges that my crew and other crew face. And a lot of it's like the anxiety. I don't know if you've seen that. Like, when I see new crew join, like we had yesterday a day worker, and now she's going from 1 day a week or something to 3 days a week. And she's just so excited about it, but she's also nervous and anxious and doesn't, it's the unknown. And it's kind of like, you know, that leads into hopefully a positive experience, but it can easily lead in with the wrong leadership to a negative experience. You know?
Absolutely. I do think it's how to nurture people as individuals to get the best out of them, but also just, it doesn't stop the overall targets. And so it's how you balance that. Yeah. I've got a question for you. I know I'm not being the one being interviewed, but if you've seen that relationship change, and I'm sure like it really impacts you how you lead, but how do you best like look after yourself when you're in the thick of
it's a very personal question, in the sense that, you know, I don't prioritize myself. You know, my goal is to get the results for the clients, and the clients are the owners, the brokers, the crew. As a captain, that's your core. It's a selfless task. What do I do to, you know, give myself strength? Have conversations like this, Melanie. Wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock. My son's not even up yet, meaning the sun with the light, not my son. It's coming up over Seattle. But conversations like this really help me kind of give power and kind of give me a better understanding of how I can be a better assistant and give me the tools. It's like IceOne. I have no problem calling them, and I probably will, just to see how the response is. And we all need help. You know what I mean? We all need more tools. You know, there's a saying I always tell crews, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't be in trouble for that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I say a lot, because it's like, if you don't know how to wash down a boat, or if you don't know how to do laundry, or you don't know how to, you can't be in trouble for that. It's our job as a community, as a crew, and as an industry to help each other get through that, rather than to make people so accountable. And this industry is so relentless and it's so unsympathetic that it's hard to see what crew go through, the pressure we put each other on. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
So for me, it's conversations like this. It's telling my wife and my two children and dog, and it's finding people in the industry I can connect with that give me a bit more, yeah, we're going down the right path.
Yeah.
And this marathon for mental health.
Yeah.
I've done 3 marathons before, about 5 years ago. And each one was probably the toughest thing in my life I've ever done mentally. And when this popped up, I said, I understand the vision here. I love this. This is not easy. To wake up every day and to do 5 kilometers or to do a walk. And, you know, this morning, yesterday I did 4 miles running. I did a good time, but my left ankle's killing me today. I'm like,
oh,
no. But I still have to do my 5 kilometers. So.
Well, walk on the next one.
That's what my wife says. And I'm like, I need another pair of shoes. That's what I'm saying. I said, I need another pair of shoes. It's not my fault. It's the shoes. It's definitely, you know, it raises awareness for yourself and also the community industry.
Yeah, and also building in that time, because it's really hard. There's always something else that can fill that time. Oh. The jobs list is never ending. It will never end.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if that's, you know, in the thick of a season, or even when you're entering a yard period when, the, you know, the jobs list is X long and, you know, you've then got to build up for the next season or any of those things, or even if, you know, you're juggling family life and being at sea. A lot of what we have seen also, like you've touched on there, but like people go away and they have families at home, and their families have to adjust without their person, and the person on the boat has to adjust without their family. Mm. And even those things, to be able to find things to cope with that distance is, it's like unspoken, but we have it come through our training all the time, yeah. where it's just like, oh, I've got to do X amount of time now. And that's like a massive building block. So it's, if you can then fill that absence with, okay, I will not work myself to the bone today, but I will try and get out for that 5K walk or connect with somebody else that is also doing it. That means a huge amount. You know, I couldn't believe when we had somebody from Guernsey connect with Xanthi in New Zealand and go out and walk at the same time and do a video call.
Oh, wow.
And they did, it was like 12 hours apart. So someone was walking in darkness and someone was walking.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the beginning. And I thought, that's it. You know, it's that connection piece.
Yeah.
To help you stay connected and connected to yourself as well. It's really hard.
Very much so. And then, like I said, I keep going back to the yachting industry because that's what we're a part of in a sense. And these crew, like we talked about, family is a very difficult thing because everyone's got this image of family as perfection and their own experience and their support network. You know, I've got this theory that, you know, I don't know if it's right or not. I'll be honest with you, Melanie. I think family sometimes provide you with the greatest challenges in your relationships because they're the people you don't choose. You know, different people above you may have chosen for you, whoever they are, you know, based on your religious beliefs, but the people you didn't choose. So they're going to teach you so much about yourself, but it doesn't mean they're the right people to give you all the support you need because it's a biased opinion. So you have to find people like Ice One, like yourself, like Xanthi, Darry Nappier, the Gap Counseling, different people in this industry. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Emma's lovely and, you know, Karini, yeah. It's the beautiful people in this industry. So as a junior crew member, put yourself in that scenario again. You know, you still look like you're a young stewardess, to be honest with you, Melanie.
Still like, I am in my 30s.
You know, I'm with me. What do you advise a young girl who's 20 and we have them on board unbridled? They join the boat, they're trying to impress people with their jobs and their positivity and all the rest of it. What's your kind of advice looking back, you know, as is in your own scenario?
Cool, that's a good question.
When you just joined a boat, you know you've got all these things.
I do. I mean, it's hard to say because I think something I say more as a general piece of advice is find your tribe. Find the people that help you thrive at work. And I options, yeah, absolutely. And I actually worked with a series, it was one captain really, and his wife. I worked on a series of boats with, but they just, the blend was right.
Yeah.
And when you find the kind of mentors that really do teach you well and really want the best for you, they will help you thrive in the industry. And I think there's also a thing, it's really hard when you're at the beginning where you think, I will never get another job again. If this is your first job, you think, this is the bill, I've worked really hard to get this one. If you don't ever feel safe, if you really go to bed at night and you think, I don't feel safe here, that can be up to like anything from like, if you're on a crossing and you don't even trust who's on watch, down to, oh, I know there's some form of harassment going on here that's, it's really hard for
you get these
to work through.
Crew mess or...
Yeah, and decide, like really decide there will be another job. There will be a boat that's right for you. And it's always said with a blend of, you know, really measure.
Yeah.
Measure whether or not, you know, try not to flit around. But yeah, finding the right tribe for you is going to be one of the most important things you do. And so when you do find a good job, a good boat with good mentors, really take that opportunity because it exists.
Yeah.
It really does exist.
100%. There's a right boat for everyone. And a lot of my conversations with crew over the years after a year on board where they're kind of getting a bit flat, they're not feeling the motivation. That's when I do say, look, try something different. You can always come back. You know, to unbridled or the different programs, but try something different, get a fresh break, take some leave without pay, get some space. But Ice One itself, if I am a young stewardess or steward or deckhand and I call up Ice One just on a Friday, everyone's out drinking, what type of, you know, direction or path will be taken? That's kind of the question, though. Is it just a sounding board or is it a professional path down towards psychologists? Because the unknown is what people fear. in my experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think for a start, it's multilingual. So I think that's an amazing. Obviously, primarily people in Nottingham are English-speaking people, but you do have people that aren't, and they have multilingual trained people at the end of the phone. So the first barrier that you can tick off is that you're going to be able to have a personal conversation with somebody where you don't have to converse in your non-native language, which is incredible.
Yeah.
The second thing is that they do have a whole list of kind of resources for support or specific techniques. You know, for example, Laura, who's a project manager at Ice One, explained a call where they had a male deckhand call in and said, "I think I'm having a panic attack. I've had them before. I don't know how to kind of get myself through this." And the call handler literally spoke them through the grounding techniques required to get somebody through a panic attack. Now, they're not there as therapists, and they're not, you know, they will often, I think, say, okay, do you understand what's included in your medical insurance? Or yeah. There are things that are quite acute. They know how to direct somebody. But even down to something like that, they've got that on hand and they can support in that way. Much like quite often they have people ringing saying, you know, they're really struggling with an interpersonal relationship on board, for example. Yeah. Or there was a case of I think they were a stewardess. Their relationship had closed off and it had become really hard for them to work on board. But their ex-partner did not want them to leave, like was being quite coercive in them being able to access the feeling that they had the right to leave the boat if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And so it's all down to those. There's a huge nuance of things that they can handle.
Not so much psychotherapy or psychology.
No.
More of a support group.
Yes, a support line. There is a supportive ear that then does have the kind of protocols to be able to direct you in the right places. Or, you know, you can ring back and ask for the same person again. Yeah. It's also confidential. Yeah. So, you know,
outside that bubble on board where you've, you know, the captain, the chief officer, the relationships that, you know, can go on for hours, conversations about relationships on board, because that's a very difficult one, you know. And it's beautiful. When it works, it's beautiful. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I love couples on board the boat because it's, number one, it's two people that get on and that's always a boat.
Yeah, but so
it creates this energy and this homely and this feel that, okay, that you can have a normal life. Like when I see couples on the dock at sunset or sitting down there and going for a walk, it empowers me to be better as a captain. I'm providing a safe space here for people to nurture their professional and their personal relationships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on the other side, when people are in St. Martin and there's parties, or south of France and there's parties, that's when relationships get a bit difficult to manage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got
a counselor
on the bridge, and I get a knock, and I'm like, it's all going to be okay. It's just take some time. Let's change your roles up a little bit. Let's figure out how we can work together and get some space. You know what I mean? Take a holiday separate is what I usually find through.
That's also such a hard thing, right? It's finding the space. I think that is, in every sense of the word, one of the hardest things about working and yachting, whether or not that's physical space or mental space or whatever it is. It's finding that realignment with who you are amongst what is all encompassing, which is yachting. You can't really have a career in it without it being almost your identity, but you really have to know who you are to not just let it become everything. And
do we ever get there though? Like, you know, like I have this saying, you know, I said, my son, he's 16 now, and he's got this book that I wrote in 1996. Well, it's a book of quotes. That when I'd go to school, I'd write these quotes. And we found it the other day, and he was going through it. And I was like, wow, this is me going to school when I was like your age, at 17 almost. And I'd write these quotes. And one was, if you don't go within, you go without. And he's like, what does that mean, Dad? I said, well, if you've got to keep going in, it doesn't make sense. And you naturally don't want to do that. You want to fight it all the time. You want to just take your problems and push them away and ignore them or deflect them or, you know, distract them and do something else, you know, but
yeah.
really need to find that core, you know. So yeah. at 46 or 47, I'm taking a 5-day yoga retreat to La Paz, Mexico with my mother. I'm terrified, Mallory. I'm terrified right now. This is looking at a yoga mat going, I've never seen you. Like, I've seen you, but I've never tried. You know what I mean? So that's
I'm intrigued. I can't wait to hear. Oh, for a start, I can't wait to hear how you find it.
There's no pictures. That's what I could think.
But also, it's like, and I don't do yoga so much anymore. I did for a long time. And running is now my vice where it is filled in yoga. Yoga used to be there. And it's interesting because I used to be really into like exercise form yoga. But when I started on yachts, I then completely went the other way.
Oh.
And anytime I could get ashore, I wanted to go to yin yoga where you hold poses for like 3 to 5 minutes.
Lovely.
And you don't move. And you do kind of really long, deep stretches. And it's so interesting because the practice itself is theoretically the same. It's yoga.
Yeah.
But what I required from it was so different because I needed in a world where everything was busy and moving and constantly going on board, I needed something that was, okay, slow on my mat. I don't need to go anywhere. Everything is still. And I think I'm really intrigued to hear how it is for you, like, matching that kind of energy or like finding out what kind of things work for you on the mat that
really should
help you go within.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to help the crew too and different people and just say, look, you know, let's not be afraid of it because there's nothing but growth. There's nothing but growth available if you really focus your time on things that are actually healthy for you. Like the knockoff beer on the dock, that's not the healthiest option. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. You know, it's a poison. It's toxins for your body. But it's got its balance too. It's got its social space. And that social interactions are very important. Mm-hmm. But I find trying to find a community, like you're saying, find your tribe. That's a big takeaway from this. An ice one can be part of that connectivity. Same as Wave Wellness. What Xanthi's doing, what Seize the Mind are doing are great things for the community of yachting.
Yeah, it's finding your people outside that boat. It's really... And that's ideally what we wanted, even with just the marathon. Yes, it's only going to run for 3 weeks in the year, but the Strava community consists for the entirety. You know, then social space online continues until next year. The opportunity for people to find something that's for them that isn't just hitting the bar when they finally get off chart or whatever is there.
Yeah.
And it's finding those spots.
Oh, it's beautiful. I really... And then so long-term, going forward, next year, Marathon for Mental Health is going to continue?
Absolutely. Hoping that, you know, the first year is all about trying to make sure people know it exists. And hopefully next year we just see it build and kind of get bigger and more crew involved. But I think we've got 10 days left. And so in the aim of trying to get as many people... At least at this point, it's too late to do really the full marathon. But in the aim of getting more people involved,
yeah,
we're going to do a 5K in one day, ideally, on the 29th of October and try and have as many crew as possible.
Lovely.
Commit to 29th
of October, what time?
Yeah. Wherever you are in the world, which means if you are in New Zealand or you are in Seattle, okay, or you are, that you can do it at your time, but for a 24-hour period. Do 5K, ideally donate either £50 or £500 to Ice One, and we'll try and create another opportunity for people to feel part of it within that marathon window.
So that's on the 29th, correct?
Yes, 29th of October.
All right, well, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to the boat show.
Great.
2 nights. So I'll try and round up.
Love it. Round up the troops.
I'll try and round that'll up for a little great. 5K down Fort Lauderdale.
I definitely know that the MHG... marathoners, as they're called, their team would be well up for that.
Okay. But they're all proper. They're pretty serious. I'm just a little suspicious.
But, you know, all folks are welcome,
yeah,
I would say.
Hold on, so. Happened. My brother got me into running. It's tough on your body. The older you get, it is tough. But it's that consistency, whether it's running, biking, walking, it's that ability to move forward and take that conscious effort, take that conscious step. Saying there is a goal, it's difficult. Can I go forward and do this?
Yeah. Absolutely.
My first
and
time.
Not being afraid to walk.
Yeah, true. That's all. My wife's doing it with me as well. Like she's.
Oh, I love.
With reduced crew, it was kind of tough because we had like 6-7 crew. They were good runners, and I was like, "Yes, I'm excited." But all of a sudden, the crew were on different projects, and we're wintering in Seattle. And I'm like, "It's just me again." I'm like, "All right, I can do this." So I got my wife. You know, I got my dog involved. I'm like, "Come on, guys, let's go, family. Let's."
Well, you never know. You might be able to get a. You know, if you do a walk, a WhatsApp call with another member of the
community.
Yeah, see it on a walk. Yeah, yeah. That's great.
All right, Melanie, I really appreciate your time. Like I said, you've been an absolute, I don't think you understand yet how much you've created a positive influence and change in the industry and the current environment we're in, because it's people like you that stand up and say, let's do this. Let's do something different. Let's give back. And that empowers people to be better. And in the end of the day, if we can do that as a community, we're in a good direction, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Leo.
So I love your tribe. I love your people. I think it's unbelievable. Is there any final notes or how people can get a hold of you, Caesar Mine?
So a legacy from my yacht chefing days, I am Cooking the Nook on Instagram, yeah. Though I don't do much cooking other than for my family anymore. And I do with Caesar Mine there and also Marathon for _ Mental Health.
Yeah.
On those are the Instagram platforms. I'm also on LinkedIn, and you can also find us in Strava. So find the club, join us. Everyone's welcome. And it's always nice to see what everyone is up to and what views they're seeing on their run, walk, hikes.
Yeah, it's a good global snapshot. But the other day I tried to take a video of me running and I look back, I'm like, oh, that's not a good way to do
it. We love it. We love it.
It was all shaky and I was like, I don't know if this is right. I don't get all this, but it's about having fun and connecting.
It is. It is.
Oh, this is Captain Liam Modi on Braille. Have a safe day. Be blessed always. Look after each other and safe seas.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.